Sure. All right. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Tabo. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Member.
How are you,
Chair? Morning.
I can't complain.
Recording in progress.
Okay, thank you so much. Colleagues, I think we can start the meeting now. It's now 10 o'clock. I welcome all the members of the committee to the meeting. The day today is the 24th of May, 2022. I also welcome the delegation from the Department of Defense and the leadership of Advocate SACDEF, Advocate Ambassador, Ambassador Kuchu. I've been given the delegation list. It includes Admiral Mopoto, General Williams, and General Buhari, and the PLO. So that's the delegation from the Department of Defense. We have only one item with them. One item with them. It's item number three. It's a report. It's progress report on cases of fraud and corruption, as well as consequence management. So, colleagues, let's check if we do have the quorum. Brian, do we have the quorum?
That is correct, sir.
We do have the quorum. Thank you so much. Can I note the apologies? Brian, do you have apologies?
Indeed we do. We've got two apologies. We've got an apology from the minister who is currently in cabinet, but she will be joining us should the cabinet adjourn earlier. We also have an apology from Ngosi Qebekhulu, who's attending a meeting of traditional leaders in KZN. That is all, Chair.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much. So those are the two apologies. SACDEF, are there any apologies from your side besides the one of the minister that has just been noted?
Chairperson, no, we don't have any except to say that the chief is out of the country and the chief of staff was going to join us in addition to the delegation we have. And then we also have our representative from the legal section.
Thank you very much. I welcome all of them to the meeting. Thank you very much, SACDEF. There is also present in the meeting, I see the office of the Auditor General. I welcome the team from that office. Thank you very much that you have attended. And I also welcome everyone that has not been able to recognize colleagues. And thank you very much, colleagues. Without wasting much time, I will invite the SACDEF to take us through item number three. And then invite whoever would want to give to elaborate on the matters that she would have presented. SACDEF?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we will be led by Admiral Mapoto, our Provost Marshal, Police Provost Marshal, and then we will also have General Buhari, who has the Directorate of Corruption and Crime in his inspectorate. And then we will also have the colleagues from from legal that will do the presentation, and then I think we'll take the discussion after that. But I don't know if the chief of staff has already joined in. He may just want to introduce the colleagues. But if not, I think we can go straight into the presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Chief of staff, are you in the meeting? Okay. Maybe she's not in the meeting.
And today is Africa Day, Chairperson. It's the 25th of May.
Okay. All right. So, Admiral Mopoto, the platform is yours. In presenting, sorry.
Thank you, that, Honorable Chairperson.
Sorry before that, Admiral. As you present to us, you must also indicate whether you have made progress since the last time we presented. And whether you are, and whether you are satisfied with the progress made thus far. Okay, so over to you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to confirm because my bandwidth was not that well. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members of the committee, honorable members of the committee. Thank you, Secretary. May I ask the Secretariat to provide my presentation?
By the Secretariat, you mean your Secretariat, Admiral, not our Secretariat.
I'm not sure because it was submitted. Maybe Reggie can inform us who's going to slide it.
Okay, Reggie. Colleagues, who's doing it?
Admiral Mapoto, Chair, may I check if Admiral Mapoto can fly this from his side, but I know that we had shared the presentation, so your secretariat should be having it, but if not, then maybe Admiral Mapoto can fly this from his side.
Thanks. Brian, have you heard that she might have some connectivity problem and he was requesting that we do it ourselves?
Brian, are you in? I will do it, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. I think I must now do it myself next time so that I can learn these techniques. Thank you very much, Chair. This is the presentation as introduced by the Secretary for Defense. As said, my name is Rear Admiral Mapoto. First, I want to go through the few cases that began as irregular expenditure or irregular and wasteful expenditure. Some has transferred into cases of fraud and corruption. The first case is the one of the 1 million rand, which after the forensic report, it was recommended that this case be forwarded to the SAPS. As you have asked, there's not much progress in these cases since the previous presentation. We know that we are not happy, but there's nothing much that we can do. But this case is with the Hawks and they are busy. We have engaged with them as recent as last week, Chair. The second one is the regular awarding of contracts to PwC on the DoD asset management to the amount of 604 million. And then this investigation was completed from the forensics, and it is forwarded to CLOC, who is busy with the implementation of the recommendations by the forensic investigators. Third is the catering school irregular expenditure to an amount of 561 million. After the investigation, this case was referred to CLOC. I can remember the date from the office of the Adjutant General on the 31st of on the 1st of March for them to implement decisions to charge the member that is involved. And that I was told from the CLOC side that is busy continuing. Next slide. This is the asset management contract, the Ernst & Young, to the value of 447 million. Investigation was finalized internally, and the recommendations was referred for the implementation of the Deloitte and TLCM contract. The forensic investigation was completed. The Defense Force, the recommendation was that this matter, for criminal matters, it must be referred to DPCI. Then we are in the process of implementing that to other matters internally. Next slide, please.
Have we lost the Admiral?
It appears so, sir.
Oh, okay. But the problem, thanks, Mr. Murray, but the problem was on my side.
Chair, maybe I would suggest that if it is possible, we can ask the Inspector General, General Buhari, maybe to continue with it, because they work together on the
Okay, General Buhari, please assist.
Good day, Chair. It's Naval Captain Kabos Snyman. I'm standing in for General Buhari, who unfortunately can't attend today. So I will continue in serial number 6 until Captain Maputo returns. So serial 6 deals with ICT service and licenses. Bids were not evaluated according to the criteria stipulated in the bid documents. The first part is, has been mentioned previously, so at this stage, SIU is in the process of collecting the 41 million with interest, and the investigation is in process against the relevant role players. In terms of serial number 7, the non-compliance with mandatory pre-qualifying criteria. You'll see, Chair, that there's a lot of postponements, and the last one is then postponed until the 3rd of June, which is next week. Next slide, please. And lastly, on this stage, it's corruption at that Central Procurement Service Center at Echo Park. This has got to do with the procurement of PPEs. and a letter was sent to National Treasury to assist with the presentation of transversal contracts. A request was also sent to Director Procurement Management to assist with interpretation and transgression of procurement policies. On 22 April of 2022, National Treasury made a presentation to the Exato prosecutors, that's the legal section in the Defence Force, and the SIB, Special Investigation Bureau, investigates about transversal contracts. The National Treasury will also submit a statement in terms of transversal contracts and deviations. Next slide, please. And we'll share, the next few slides will deal with corruption and fraud cases that were finalized. The first one is fraud regarding documentation that were used to commit a company fraud at Group 15. That case dates back to 2012. On 24 February 2021, SASB confirmed to the investigator that they want to confess. In this matter, arrangements to be made with the Magistrates Court. And the bottom line there is that the Pretoria Magistrates Court on the 14th of June 2021 declined to prosecute due to the unavailability of evidential material. Serial number two, the creating of fraudulent inlet accommodation expenditure at Joint Technical Headquarters, also from 2012. The accused passed away and the case was withdrawn. Next slide, please. Thank you. Serial number three has got to do with procurement that in Makado from 2013. The case docket is still with the Specialized Commercial Crime Unit for decision on 15 May 2019. The investigator is still awaiting feedback. And then there was a nolle prosequi by the Makado magistrate due to the South African Air Force Forensic Audit report stating that there was no intent to commit fraud. Serial number four. Suspects handed in fraudulent receipts for accommodation. The case docket still with the senior public prosecutor for decision. The case docket handed over on 22 February 2021. This was withdrawn by the Pretoria Specialized Commercial Crime Court on 14 February 2022 due to two contradicting deployment orders handed in as evidence. Serial number five, submitting fraudulent last will and testament from 2013. Military Police Division investigation continues as more bank statements are needed to be obtained via section 205. And then when they got this information, it was determined that there was no information that can lead to the arrest of the suspect. And this case is then prepared for closure. Serial number six, fraudulent documents used to purchase medical equipment. I said that the inspecting officer received the case docket back on 11 February 2021 with a decision that there is no prospect of a successful criminal prosecution. However, there is evidence of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Yes, sir, the case docket is then taken for review. Seal number seven. Again, fraudulent receipts for accommodation. And this one is in line basically with serial number four, where they... the case was withdrawn in February this year due to two contradicting deployment orders handed in as evidence. Seal number 8, fraudulent documents were processed for transfer of payments at Army Support Base in Limpopo. And this case was only prosecuted on the 1st of December 2020 as a suspect deceased. Seal number 9. The accused found guilty and sentenced to 5 years imprisonment, which is suspended for 3 years. Seal number 10, fraudulent procurement of music equipment. The suspect is deceased and the case was withdrawn by the Legal Satellite Office on the 30th of June 2021.
Thank you, Captain. I'm back.
Thank you, Admiral.
Thank you very much for
You're welcome.
Thank you. Chairperson, this is the summary of cases of fraud and corruption in the DOD, which hasn't changed much going through services and divisions. From the SA Army, it's about 1 billion. Air Force 45, Navy 295 million, SAMS 58, 138 for joint ops, 400,000 for GI, CLOC 500 million. Next slide. Just to TMI, about 284, Office Special Forces 182, and the office of the former minister amounting to 937, total amount of 2.2 billion said. Thank you. This is just a summary of the previous two slides, showing that the Army is the one that is high above, followed by Navy and the CMI. With turn off next slide. Just the summary of the convictions, which hasn't changed from the previous presentation, totaling to the amount of 392,170 slides. This following slide will be showing the officials who are on suspension and whom the value that you see on the right shows the amount that we've been paying while these officials from the military or from the DOD were on suspension. And the second column shows the period from which an official has been on suspension and with the service on the first slide.
Admiral, the serial numbers here, they match the serial numbers above.
No. This is just a list of all suspended members.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Then this is just to show you, and I'm not going to go through each one of them, but you can see on the far right, the amount of money that was paid. Next slide. They go in terms of their order of of seniority, because we have started from the high level ranking and going down, but some is because of the time that you see that the higher rank emerges on the slide. Next slide. The only thing on the slide, Chairperson, is that the 3000 are the only members on the slide that were suspended without pay. The rest of these members were suspended with pay. Next slide. Just for the honorable members and the chairperson to have a look at this. It's just the same. And next slide, please. Next slide. Thank you. The total amount that of the 66 members that I've reported to, the rent in value is 30.6 million that have been paid so far. Next slide. The one is the Public Service Act personnel members who were suspended in this period to the amount totaling 4.7 million. Next one, including now the key official servicing division and total precept, the amount is 56.9, almost 57 million. Next. Yeah, this is the conclusion. Sorry for the interruption in terms of me being kicked off, but I hope that the captain has done justice to the presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yes, no, very much. Thank you. No, he did do justice to the presentation when you are away. Colleagues, the item is on the table. I have seen Mr. Mara's hand, Ms. Motapu, Dr. Basoku. I think it's those three for now. All right. So I'll start with you, and Thabo. So that's four colleagues. It's going to be Mare, that's Motapu. Is Motapu gone? That's Mare, Motapu, Basoku, and Mutle in that order.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Admiral, for the presentation. Obviously, a lot of concerning information that we have received here. One thing I just want to check with you, what is the time up to when is these cases or is this report? Is it end of last month, end of last year? That is quite important to know how up to date this list is. It seems like it is quite up to date, but I just want to have confirmation on that. I wonder if you can respond to that. Then I just want to know the CELOC 400 million, is the Cuban medicine case part of that? Because we know that forensic was finished and the Auditor General has said that, you know, action must be taken, and the Minister has indicated that action will be taken. So I just want to know whether that is the case and whether that is part of the 400 million of CELOC. Then I want to know how much money was actually lost. I know you've given the value of the transactions, involved in the fraudulent cases and all the cases that you reported on. And then how much was actually recovered or is recoverable? Because I just want to make a comparison with how much was lost, the value of the cases, and eventually the success in that regard. I also want to know in the cases of people who as deceased, has passed on, whether there was any claims from their estates. Because if the case has been closed or withdrawn because they are not alive anymore, whether any claims were submitted. Then there is, if you look at the number of the cases and the value, there are actually very, very few convictions. Very few convictions. And that is quite a huge concern. And then it seems like there are very few superior officers being held accountable. I just want to know whether there are disciplinary cases or other investigations with regards to the overseers, the senior people, those who have got the responsibility to make sure that whoever is under them and work for them is in line. Then I want to know, in part of the last that you've mentioned, in some case, in one case, there was a confession and then it was withdrawn. So how does that work if one confesses to that and then it is withdrawn due to a lack of evidence? You know, what more evidence do you then want? I just want your comment on that. And then the suspensions. It is a huge concern if we look at the suspensions, and some of them dates back to early 2000s. And if it's only those three or four that is suspended without pay, that means that the others do have a very, very long-term holiday where they are fully paid. They probably get their increases on a yearly basis. And I mean, they enjoy it because they are suspended, they're at home, and they get full pay. I mean, how do we justify that to not only National Treasury, but to Parliament and to the taxpayer of South Africa? And then lastly, I'll stick to these questions. If there's anything else that comes up, I've just forgot one, but then I can just ask you again. But thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Motapo.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, Officials. Happy Africa Day. Chairperson, I've got three issues to raise here. Let me start where Honorable Mare left off, where there is a confession and the case was withdrawn, or there is a nolle prosequi certificate where there is the magistrate declined to continue the case. I'm a bit confused because it appears, as Honorable Mare has alluded to, most cases here, there is a decline to prosecute. And this one, because there is a confession, unless a confession is interrogated, it's not received voluntarily, also deduced voluntarily, also, I don't see any reason for withdrawal of this case. Maybe I will request Admiral Maphoto to expatiate and give reasons as to why there was a decline to prosecute, a nolle prosequi certificate. And then there is the second one, Honorable Chairperson, is the ASB Makado case, case number 42/2013, where family members were doing business with the department. The same obtained prosecutor declined to prosecute. And my take, the question I would like to ask Admiral Maphoto of the department, whether are they not internally not having systems in place to deal with such issues, or are they not having a policy to dealing with such an occurrence? And then the third one is the one relating to there is a conviction, only one conviction here. Unfortunately, I didn't write the cast number. Where there is a conviction, a person was given 5 years sentence, three of which three were suspended. In terms of recouping lost taxpayers' money by attaching emoluments and so forth, what is the department doing in this case regarding where there is a conviction? And then again, I didn't get him, Admiral Maphoto, clear when he was referring to 3001 members saying others were suspended and so forth. May he kindly also repeat this. He made mention, I can't see the page, he was referring to 3001 of members suspended and so forth. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Do you need him to make a comment on that now?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you assist? She may want to do a follow-up. Can you assist, Admiral?
Okay. I think it's Chairperson, it's only suspended members. There were three members, I think it is on slides, suspended members.
17, slide 17.
Slide 17. I was just saying that the value there, when you see from 18, 19 and 20, those members, they were suspended without pay. Unlike the rest where you see values, value is the pay that were paid since they were on suspension.
Okay. All right. Do you want to make a follow-up?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I want to know on which grounds are members suspended without and others with pay? What informs that? What criteria are they using? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so we note that. Let's move to Dr. Pasopu.
Thank you, Chairperson, and colleagues and officials of the department. Mine is on finalized cases, Chair, because that's where the problem is. But I think the first question, Mr. Murray, as well as Honorable Murray and Honorable Matabe have touched on it, that suspects confirmed to the investigator that they wanted to confess. Now, my question now, if the department is not happy about the outcome of the case, here are the culprits prepared to confess, but all of a sudden the case is withdrawn. Now, if the department is not happy about the case, what do they do? That's the first question. On the same question that has been raised. Then secondly, the issue of consequence management, because given that the suspects wanted to confess, it tells you could, indeed there is a case. I'm talking about us now as a department, because we can't force the prosecuting authority to prosecute. But in terms of the consequence management, what has the department done about this case? Then the second one is case number 3. I think Mataba has touched on this as well, that a member from the procurement section awarding to his child and friends. You know, we all know that this is wrong. Are you telling us that within the Defense Force, there's something wrong to award a contract to your families, to your girlfriends, to whatever is associated or close to you? Is that what you are telling us in this department? Then, of course, the internal processes, consequence management. Then the next one is case number 4. Suspect handed in fraudulent receipts for accommodation. And it says case docket still with senior public prosecutor. That's what it is saying here. But all of a sudden, down the line, it tells you that because of contradicting information and that, the first question, why the information from the department is contradicting? Why is it like that? Then, of course, again, consequence management. The following one is case number 5, submitting fraudulent last will and testament of bank investigation. That's what it says. Still continues on the matter. But down the line, it tells you that the case has been, it says case is prepared for closure. It doesn't make sense, Chairperson, here. The the investigation, on the other hand, is taking place, but on the other hand, case is prepared for closure. Why? But again, consequence management on the matter. Then the last one is fraudulent document used to purchase medical equipment. And then the case has been withdrawn. But again, the report says there are evidence that fruitless, wasteful expenditure has occurred. Again, consequence management, there's no mention in this report. Then number eight, case number eight, it talks of fraudulent documents processed for the transfer of payments. Docket is finalized in court. The case will be discussed with the advocate for further instruction. That's what the report is saying. But down the line, it says the case is being closed. Why? Well, there is this process that is written there. Then the last one, Chairperson. It talks about a cashier who was sentenced to 5 years, but the question, where is the cashier? Because the report is silent about that. So far, Chair, those are the questions. But for me, Chair, this report has got lots of challenges. It tells you that it seems as if within the prosecuting authority or somewhere, the processes are being manipulated, something that we know is happening in this country. So I'm saying that we so wish that we can get a clear picture so that when we take a decision as the committee, we take an informed decision. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutle.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to honorable members and colleagues in the platform. Maybe, Chair, I've got only two questions. One, the office of the former minister is being mentioned there to have fraudulent activities amounting to 900 plus thousands. Can they take us into confidence? What are these fraudulent activities that are taking place in ministry? I want to believe that the office of the minister can be referred to as ministry. What are these activities that total to that particular amount? As a result of fraudulent activities. Two, it's around the cases that date back to 2007. How do you allow a situation where a member is suspended for about 15 years without prioritizing to resolve this particular matter? I mean, you are paying a person who's staying at home for 15 years. If, for an example, that person at the end of the day, after 20 years, is found guilty, you would want to recoup or recover the monies that were paid whilst that particular individual, a member, was on suspension for 20, 15 years or so. Don't you have policies and guidelines that guide you to for a maximum number of years, minimum to maximum number of years, the person that can be imposed on suspension? I'm sure I'm making sense because it can be correct that the person is suspended for 15 years and nothing has been done, and there are no prospects of resolving this such cases speedily. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes, no, thank you very much. The last time this matter was submitted to us in March, you had 56 uniformed members on suspension. with and receiving payments up to, I mean, we had received payments up to 80.6 million rand. 56 members of suspension, and the payments paid to them while on suspension was 30.6 million. And the figure, how many months later now? It's 2 months or 3 months. Remains the same, 56 members, 80.6 million. The figure remains static. I think it comes back to the question that Mr. Murray raised. When was this report updated? Now, I even doubt that when it was presented in March, it was the latest as at March, but you would have the information. And again, from the submission you made to us in March, it doesn't look like there's been any progress on investigations. I'm basically comparing their presentation they're giving us and the presentation you made in March. And unfortunately, I've not been able to compare the information you presented in March to the information you presented to us in November, whether there's been any movement since then. But I do have the report of the Auditor General, which indicates what was said at the time of the report. And again, with all the cases that were sent to the majority of them, finalized cases that were sent to the chief log for implementation have not been implemented. Again, this talks to the application of consequence management. Matters are investigated, findings made, and clear recommendations attached. But they end there. They don't get progressed to a point where now those recommendations are given effect to. Then raises a question whether there is appetite to root this thing out, to nip it from the bud, if there are no consequence management. And when people don't see people held to account, there will be no incentive on their part to do right. It's not going to be a corrective measure, because the people who were accused and implicated in serious wrongdoing are still in the employment and with no action visiting them. So that's where the problem is. It's not investigation for the sake of investigation. It's investigation because you want to identify people who caused the wrongdoing, with a view of holding those people to account. Because if it's investigation for the sake of investigation, that on its own becomes an unnecessary cost. on the part of the department. It becomes a wasteful expenditure because after investigation, nothing is being done. And then lastly, matters that have been reported to the Hawks and remain pending since then, maybe at some point we must consider inviting the Hawks to come and give us a progress on their side. What are they doing about these matters? When they'll ever come before the court for a finalization, seeing that some matters are starting to be a cost to the department, especially when people remain on suspension of pay for a number of years, and we have seen it. And then the last point, Chair, sorry, the last point is whether the department should not consider, now this is for SECDEF, this one for SECDEF, should not consider making it a condition that before a person is appointed to a senior management position, appointed a general, that person must have financial management as a what's called a qualification. You determine how long, what would constitute that the content of that qualification. But we can't be chasing our tail all the time. When we see that the point is financial management and accountability thereof. And before you can become promoted to general, show us, have you done financial management as a course? And for those that are already appointed as financial, what you call general, they must be taken through financial management as a course. I'm saying this in all honesty to help the department to be able to look through the finances of the state, because they are at the center of what we see today. We are unable to do certain things. You're unable to maintain, you're unable to refurbish. You have, equipment that are waiting to be, that should have been upgraded because they are at the midlife stage. No midlife upgrade has been done. Why? Because we don't have money. Yet we still have money that falls through the cracks. But that is for the minister and the sector to comment on. Colleagues, I think that then concludes the question.
Chairperson, just the one that I have just slipped my mind at that stage was whether there is any policy with regards to employees, suspended employees, that they are not allowed to have another job. And whether there are any checks and balances to make sure, because if they get full pay for X number of years and they have another job, then how can they be subsidized by the taxpayer? So I want to know whether that is a part and whether they are making sure that that doesn't happen. Thank you very much. My apologies.
No, thank you very much. Colleagues, now I invite the Admiral. After him, the Secretary would then give us her closing comments. Admiral?
Thank you, Chairperson. As well, I'll ask that the colleagues that are here, especially from legal, will be part of the assistance
to answer certain questions that are legally implied. I thank you for the questions from the honorable members, honorable chair. The first question by Honorable Mare relating to the times when these cases were reported. I think it's in the slides. We mentioned the commencement date where these cases were, when these cases were reported, and the time which they were finished is in the last slide on the status. So that maybe only on the first cases of irregular, which we just wanted to give feedback, but the commencement dates are captured in this. The second question, talking about CLOC with regard to the 400.
My apologies. I mean, I look at the last slide. There's nothing to say that this is up to December 21 or up to March 22. So it is not given here. Please indicate to me where that is given.
Yes, no. Please, Admiral, do indicate because I mean the AG's report is at 31st March 2021, right? Gives a figure of 57 of suspended officials.
Yes.
So now it's 56. So we're not too sure, you know, how updated, your the information you've supplied us with. It is not the same information you gave to Auditor General and has not been updated since that time. Or you are saying that, yes, these are the same cases and there's been no suspension since then, so you are still dealing with that backlog. So that's the information we want.
Yes, that is the same cases, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you. And so in terms of the 400 million that is from CLOC, this report doesn't involve the Cuban medication. That case is on its own, now been dealt with by the Office of the Chief of the National Defense Force with the inquiries that came from the public protector. So it's not part of this. And in terms of how much money was lost, in the summary, on slide 12, it shows the estimated value of 2.2. And in terms of the recovery, what we are giving you in terms of the recovery is only the convictions. We can go back and look at the actual recovery in terms of what was recovered, if there is. But this is only the one that is lost to the state. Honorable Marais' question, Chairperson. The question on the cases where members were deceased, whether there were claims from their estates, I will be requesting that maybe we go back and check if that was done, but I'm not sure I don't think it was done. And one thing that I know is that the cases that we are dealing with are mostly handled by the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court. We will look at that in terms of any recovery that were done. The cases were closed as a result of the suspect or the accused being deceased. And I agree with the Honorable Marie, the fact that there is no convictions based on the amount of money that was lost to the state. But I will beg to differ with Honorable Marie with regard to the officers or the officials that are on suspension. There is more junior officers than senior officers that are on that, but that doesn't justify who must be there. What is there is that those that we managed to get through the justice system, or those who were reported, are there on that list, and some of them are on suspension. Whether on suspension with pay or without pay is a matter that we will address a little bit later. I agree with the fact that there was a confession that was proposed by the accused on slide 4. Okay, just let me go to that. Yes, the one on number 1 on slide 6, where the accused wanted to confess. This case was handled by the magistrate courts in Pretoria. The details of this I can solicit from my investigators, but what I was informed on was that it was during COVID and they didn't want that confession to go on to some technicalities whereby they thought that this accused was taking a shortcut in terms of this. But when the magistrate looked at this, after that they declined to prosecute. But we can come back with the details of this case. The suspension that dates back to early 2000s and this justification, I want to say that as the one of the honorable members said that when you then come back to you find the person was found guilty and you want to recoup the lost state money, will this person be able to pay? Unfortunately, this is the policy that we have currently. I think legal will go, General Solomon will go into detail with that, but this is the policies that we are using, and she will tell you that this is determined by the type of cases that these members are involved in. And I think the Honorable Mutapo, the issue of this confession.
Chair.
Hello?
Yes, Chair. It is General Solomon, sir.
General Solomon, sir.
Yes, Chair. Before my colleague continues to the next set of questions, I would maybe seek to give a little bit more clarity on the questions asked by the Honorable Marais.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, Chair, the question about up to how recent is the information? I think when you're talking about when you're questioning the recentness, if I can use that word, of the information that is captured in the slides, I think Admiral Maputo can answer that question. I'm not sure exactly up till and when this information was captured until the close of the financial year, which would have been March 2022 this year. That's the close of our financial year. And I think regarding the C-Log matter of the 400 million rand, where Honorable Murray indicated it had to do with the medicine that was in the SAMS environment, the Admiral Maputo indicated that it is not listed here as it's being dealt with the Chief Sandhoff's office through the Public Protector's office. But let us go to the third issue, Chair, where Honorable Murray indicated the money actually lost and the money actually recovered. So, Chair, when it comes to a criminal investigation, we work very much like the civilian courts. The matter is investigated, the matter is enrolled for trial, and based on the finding of the court, whether it's a guilty verdict or a not guilty verdict.
But let us focus on the guilty verdict, Chair. In that instance where the fraud has been proven, the corruption has been proven, then what happens is that whether it's an outside case, when I say outside, I mean outside the defense force or within the defense force, the prosecutor invokes a section in the Criminal Procedure Act where we say that the state wants to recover this amount of money. Okay? So it'll be recovered, the money will be recovered based on the conviction of the individual. Because a not guilty finding means this person was not held responsible for this theft, and therefore, if he's not responsible, the money cannot be recovered. That's the judge's magistrate's finding. But where there is a finding of guilt, then the money can be recovered by the state. And all prosecutors invoke a section in the Criminal Procedure Act that says we want to recover the money, state must recoup the money. But it must be based on a guilty finding. Then the cases of people deceased, whether we have a claim against the estate. Now, in the civil procedure, where we have civil proceedings, you can make a claim against a deceased estate, right? Depends on when your court papers were filed and the deceased passed away thereafter, he had a case to answer. But in a criminal case, Chair, once the accused has died in a criminal matter and that accused has not pleaded guilty or not guilty and he hasn't been convicted by a court, that means there is no decision on this person's guilt or innocence, then you cannot recover from that person's estate because that person cannot stand in a court of law and defend themselves. That person is passed away. That means that person does not have the right or the opportunity of the audi alteram partem rule where he can stand in front of court and say, I'm not guilty, therefore I refute the charges against me. Obviously, a person who's alive and he is found guilty, then you can, and later on die, then the state can bring a claim against the estate because the court would have made an order that this person owes the state this money. The next question, Chair, regarding the number of cases, the values, and there's very few convictions. Yes, if you look at what is in front of us, there is a concern about the values involved, and there's one conviction of 5 years suspended for 3, and I'll come back later to that because another member also raised that issue. The concern about very few superior officers that are being held accountable, Jay, it works on the issue of where the evidence takes us. If the evidence takes us and it points to a superior officer and there's an investigation, then certainly the person will be charged. Because in the military, there is a provision that before you can be suspended, you must be charged. You must appear as an accused before court. So I can't take the matter any further here by saying that, yes, there are too many or too few superior officers. But if there's evidence pinpointing a certain individual and the investigation shows that, then that person will be charged. And only once charged, then that person will be suspended. However, and this question came up by another honorable member as well, is that not every situation dictates that a person should be suspended. And I will go into detail of when our policies indicate a suspension and when we have a policy in the DOD that deals with suspension of members, and we have a policy, Chief South African National Defense Force instruction on when to suspend members. Okay. So the question was, very few superior officers are held accountable, and is there disciplinary cases against these senior officers? The way the military is structured, Chair, is that all uniform members, when you are charged with an offense, you can either have an option of going to a disciplinary hearing, which is chaired by the officer commanding. And then at the disciplinary hearing, sir, you must opt to plead guilty. They only handle guilty pleas. But where there's serious offenses, where there's what we call non-disciplinary offenses or criminal offenses, we do not take those matters to a disciplinary hearing because the maximum sentence in the disciplinary hearing is a 600 rand fine. So we try and serious matters to go before a military court. The people that are subject to, let's say, 100% disciplinary hearings is the members that are what the Admiral indicated as PSAP members. So basically, Chair, uniform members, when there is a DD1 written, they can go for the officer commanding disciplinary hearing. It goes about disciplinary offenses where you may be absent without leave from work, you were late on your parade, those kind of offenses, where you get a 600 rand maximum fine, qualified by the fact that you must fall within the rank of a private to a staff sergeant. And it must be a voluntary election to have the disciplinary hearing. So those there is provisos and conditions, Chair, regarding disciplinary hearings. Very interesting question, sir. The confession, it was withdrawn due to, and then it was said to a lack of evidence. Chair, our military judges as well as magistrates can take confessions, and when they take a confession, the person must come to them freely and voluntarily, and the person must unequivocally admit their guilt in the circumstance. That means the person must raise no defense. So we've had instances, Chair, where people go to a military judge or even a magistrate and they say they want to confess. But during the course of the confession, when they start raising a defense in law, that the magistrate is forced, sir, to abandon that confession to indicate that since you're raising a defense in law, in good conscience, I cannot take this confession because it means that you are not unequivocally admitting to your guilt or something that you have done. I don't have further details, unfortunately, in regard to case number 8-3 of 2012. But then I will speak to the Admiral after so we can actually interrogate what transpired, what was the sequence of events that took place that eventually said if there was no confession. Because it possibly can be, sir, that if a person did not confess, then the evidence that we have as the state is not sufficient to charge anybody because without a confession, we cannot link anybody to that offense. So I don't want to commit myself and give you a definitive answer without actually interrogating that particular docket. And I think that we can put that on hold and maybe we can interrogate and come back to you with a proper answer on that one. Definitely, Chair, the suspensions, I agree with the committee that suspensions that are long outstanding from the early 2000s, my colleague and I spoke before this meeting, and we certainly agree that this is something that we will have to interrogate with our Chief Director, Human Resource Management, because it's not acceptable for the state to waste money to pay an individual who stays at home, does not render any service to the state, and yet they get paid. So we will have to interrogate. I have made a list, Chair, of certain of the slides and the 2003 matter, 2007, 9, 11, 13 matter, to see what is the machinations of this matter? Because number one, Chair, you would have noticed that we have a lot of matters that's referred to the Specialized Commercial Crimes Unit, the Magistrates Court, and mostly those kind of matters, the reason that they are referred outside the Defence Force, Chair, is because the matter does not only pertain to uniform members, there's also civilians involved in that matter. And because of the fact that the military courts does not have jurisdictions over civilians. So we only have jurisdiction over uniform members. So we are forced to take those cases outside. And when we take those cases outside, then we are at the mercy of the prosecutors and the state advocates that deal with those matters. And sometimes it's maybe the blame can be laid at the feet of the state or sometimes at the accused, because accused also, sir, just like in the civilian court, they also frustrate the whole process. They frustrate it either because they change attorneys, they are sick when they have to be in court, they're not available, they're not prepared or not prepared for their defense, and so on and so forth. But I take the committee's point and I undertake, Chair, that myself with Admiral Maphoto and HR members, we will look at these convictions. We will look at the suspensions. We will look at what were the charges and what is prompting this for the suspension to carry on so long unabated without these matters coming to court. Thank you, Chair. I hope I answered the issues of the Honorable Marais.
Yeah, you did the other one. You may continue.
Except for the last one, whether they are allowed to work and whether they have made sure that they don't work.
Yeah, I think I think there was a question. What is does your policy prevent someone on suspension to undertake any remunerative work while on suspension?
Chair, there is a process that the member must apply to his officer commanding for permission to take on other work. I haven't had visibility on people actually doing that application, or making an application to actually take on other work, because even though you're in suspension, let's talk about the people that are suspended with pay. They are still getting full pay from the department. We use the term they're still under command chair. They're still under command. That means they can be called up to attend their court cases without uplifting the suspension. They can be called up in those kind of instances. But whilst they're still employed within the department and they want to take up another job for 5 years, if I'm suspended and I feel like it's never ending and I want to take it, and then he must make an application in writing. He or she make an application in writing to the officer commanding for permission to do that. I don't want to speak off the cuff, Chair, about whether it's going to be allowed by the CHR, Admiral Kubo's environment, but we can ask that question from HR members to see whether they're allowed to do it or not. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. And then maybe the last point on the suspension, General, and the SACDEF as well, is that the suspension in question, it's a precautionary suspension. It's when you say that your continued presence at work might interfere with the investigation. And now when you have concluded your investigation and the matter is either court ready or what if or you have made findings and recommendations, I don't see it still justifiable to keep the person on suspension, especially if it is for this long. I mean, from 2012 or 2013 or 2014, it would mean one of the two things. One, the superiors have forgotten that there is a person on suspension. They've forgotten about him. Or they want to keep on suspension because they don't want him back at work. Now, it's a different reason now that is not related to the matter at hand. And then two, you don't want the person to interfere with an investigation. Interfere with witnesses who would be at work and so on. Then you place that person on suspension. But now, if it is this long, it means that someone has not done the job. Simply just left the thing hanging, decided that they would not investigate the matter, it's better that this person be out of sight and is not going to complain because we are paying him. Again, it's not. We are using suspension for ulterior motives. Please review this thing and come back to us and say, of all these cases, is it still justifiable that we retain this person on suspension? Or we bring him back so that he is gainfully employed while the matter is being attended to either by the military court or by the external law enforcement agencies. Because his continued suspension no longer justifies
is no longer justifiable. Because, you got what you wanted in the first place. So I think somebody has left on the job on this matter. And but the fact that when she comments, she will indicate whether can we still call this precautionary suspension when the person remains on suspension from 2013. And what is a reasonable time for precautionary suspension? You know, I'm sure you will have your policy talking to that, to say a person may not remain on suspension for longer than this period, and so on. But would care when you talk to it, so that we don't pay people for not doing anything. In other words, we are paying two people for the same job. That's what it means, essentially it means in the thing. Because we want to avoid disciplining the person, or it's one way of removing him from, taking him out of sight. Okay, so, all right. So have we dealt with all the questions before I ask the SecDef to come in and comment and make a closing comment?
Am I allowed to do that before the SecDef, Honorable Chair?
Yes, sir, you may.
Just on your comments, please. just to rewind, to go to General Solomon's, what she said. We don't suspend those in uniform until they are charged. That's what our rules say. So the mere fact that we have charged you, it means we have arrived at a part of evidence that says you're guilty. Two, we're really low in structures now, because we're not in numbers we're supposed to be. So we want every hand on the deck, because those who are in posts in uniform are highly overworked as we speak right now. In fact, extremely so and unhealthily so.
Who is this? The chief of staff.
That's the chief of staff. Sorry. I thought.
Yes.
Structure of the military people, especially on the log arrangement, have been going down badly for years now, unreplaced. Hence, depending too much on the reserves, which is an unhealthy way of saying. Three, this is an example, for instance, if I'm not mistaken, it's about 15, whom we suspended after a lot of fraud they were doing in Limpopo at the ASP. We will send them home and they will be sent back by the court, despite all they've done. And it's quite uncomfortable as to where you're going to utilize them, because they start interfering with the people who are possible witnesses in the process. I may assure the committee that we've discussed this thing, for instance, very, very deeply recently, and both in the MCC and in the PDSC, where we've thrown down the contract, despite it all, we've got to find a way to bring the people back to do a part of the job for the duties they're being paid. But I know you are right in a way. We military people can be too much judgmental sometimes. It's in our psyche. Once you've done something like that, you know, my language is unugumzondo. We don't really like you around. It's true. Because we feel that you're a bad example in the first place. So there is that resistance that we really don't want you, because you're going to influence others, because you look as a winner when you're back, and the number of the people who do this thing increase. On the other hand, But the process of military law, remember, was changed by this country in the manner we do things. So we're no longer able to do the disciplining by law in the manner we used to do before. Because military law has got very little to do whether it was an apartheid regime or a regime that is in charge now. It's got very little to do with that. But unfortunately, that's how our military goes. Two, another thing, three, our military has got unions. On the other hand, so this is all we are facing. I'm not trying to try to bring you confusion of a burden, but I'm trying to bring to you to understand that we are much lesser in numbers than we were before to be able to execute things. So everyone is important to us to be back. But again, there's a code in uniform, a code of honor at the same time, which we must be seen to be observing on the other hand, besides the issue of the military law. Because when you come, we make you sign the code of conduct. And we read it on every parade or on every, so that it knocks down on every person. So we need to be seen to be living according to that, which we believe our society, it demands that from us on the other hand. So no, we don't leave people because we feel we don't necessarily want them. We're using, because somebody is doing the job. If that somebody is doing the job, then it's a reserve. If not, most of the time, one person will be doing two or three jobs of different people at the same time, which is not healthy. So I just wanted to explain that before the second Jeff comes. Thank you very much.
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lieutenant General Yamdi, our Chief of Staff. Right, Sekta.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me just start by saying that if there is one thing that causes me sleepless night, it's these issues of consequence management. I was brought to the department to implement control measures to assist, and for all the time that I have been here, I have been dealing with historical cases. And I deal with them on a daily basis. And you can imagine the amount of frustration that comes with that. We are also a department, Chairperson, that is divided into civilian and military. And somehow that deprives us of the opportunity to really deal with the matters in the manner that they are supposed to deal with. I will give you an example, Chair. There was that a procurement of a PPEs that came from the presidency. It listed the names, both military and both civilian. We have moved from the civilian side, and there were about 27 from the military side. We haven't really had any much movement on those ones. Next week, Chairperson, on the 2nd, we are starting disciplinary hearing. What that is doing is that, on the other hand, it backfires on me as an accounting officer, because then it is said, so we are going to be used as PSAP to show the military that we can act where and use them as an example. Because then we don't act as an organization. What stops us from a dealing with some of those things? So I think that I just need to raise the Chairperson to say that it comes with a great deal of frustration. We have what we call accounting management a meeting. That's it once every month. It's myself, it's the chief, it's all the chiefs of the services. We look at the issues of the AGs. We look at the issues of the consequence management. And probably, in all fairness, some of the chiefs were not in the positions that they are in today. But like I was told, when I came in, I inherited what I found here. So all the things that we deal with, they are things that are historical. We're paying for our audit chairperson $69.7 million for being audited for 21-22. But I can tell you, when the report comes, I'm going to be answering for cases of 2013. So this is where we are at. And I'm not saying that there wasn't any wrongdoing, but to what extent are we going to continue? Where even there has been action, Chairperson, we've always acted when people have retired or when some of the people have actually passed on. So it has a lot of frustration. And yes, I think that we have presented what we term as progress, but it is frustrating because the progress is there, but it is not at the level that we will want it to be. We have engaged with the HOG in particular to say that we have also submitted cases to you. Can you move with speed or can you give them priority? And the answer was that you just join the queue like everybody else. And sometimes that also brings all these issues to the fore. Why we sit with these cases for us? Chairperson, I don't know whether those that are suspended, whether it is precautionary suspension. One of the cases that is being alluded to here, it is a case of a spouse of one of our major generals, case number 7. And that major general was then put, I can call it instruction suspension, probably General Solomon will explain what that means, because then that was the spouse. So these are some of the things that we see there. So I cannot even confirm to you whether these are suspensions for suspensions because we have proven that there was something wrong that has been done, or they are precautionary suspensions that get implemented in order not for the members to tamper with evidence. And that is the reason. And as far as I understand is that even with precautionary suspension, you employ it when you know that there will be reasons for tampering with evidence. Like, I'll give you an example. The cases that you are going to be heard through the disciplinary hearing as of the 2nd of June, we didn't put them on precautionary suspension because those were the investigations that were done by the SIU. All the information they needed was is already in possession of the SIU. So we felt that there was not going to be any tampering. But had we put them on suspension, it would have meant that we'll have to pay them the salary. The only one case, it was because that member appeared both under disciplinary hearing and that the SIU itself had taken the case to the SIU for criminal process. So then it was said that because then the case is already referred to the NPA, we will not be justified to keep the member in the system. And even with our disciplinary hearing, we were waiting to hear from DPSA to get the evidence leaders and the presiding officers. So that's why. And also, because then sometimes, Chairperson, justice delayed is justice denied. We can't have these cases going on forever. Not only would it be a problem even in terms of our constitutional rights, but it also becomes a problem because then as the institution, we spend so much money paying these people who are on suspension. Now, Chairperson, there was a question about the issue of quality, and I think what the Brigadier General Solomon was explaining is that if they were to do work, they would have to apply to officer commanding. I can tell you, Chair, that even every year until the end of April, we are required to do financial disclosures at an SMS level. At the level of those members that are below SMS, if they want to perform any work outside a government, they have to apply to the accounting officer to get authorization to do work outside. Now, the process is reactive in the sense that when you sit there as an accounting officer, you can only respond to the requests that are made to you. But it doesn't force everybody to do that. You do it yourself when you know that you want to do business. And sometimes that's why it becomes a problem to know whether there are officials in departments that will do work outside without having asked for authorization. So I just thought that I needed to deal with that. Chairperson, one of the cases that is reflected here is the case that we have reported on a number of occasions, and that was the one of the Microsoft licenses. Actually, we are in conversation with the SIU because they are to deposit, I think, the tune of about 21 million to us as part of the recovery, and they are going to pay it in two chunks. The next chunk is going to be paid when we start the next financial year. And also the case is still ongoing in the sense that there are some of those also who have brought themselves forward and said that as a result of their availing themselves to talk to the investigators, there is a chance for us to recover a further 70 million. Some of those, I know there was a question that was asked by Honorable Mutapo on the conviction that even those that are convicted, do we also get recovered? It can only happen if the judgment itself says that we sentence this person, but so much money must be recovered. But if then it is just only conviction and they don't say that we have to recover, I don't think that we have the leeway to recover this. And Chairperson, let me just say that in this accountability management meeting, we try to actually get exactly that. What is the amount of consequence management has been taken, has been implemented in the various services? And we are not really, to be honest, making any progress on that. I've taken the matter to the COD, where the minister sits, the DM sits, I sit, the chief of the SANDF sits. We have discussed this matter. I personally feel that at the level of the accounting officer, I have done what is expected of me. And I have then also escalated the matter to the executive authority. And when I was away on leave, I understand that also this is the subject matter that the minister had addressed yourself to it. And then I know that for sure there is interaction between the executive authority and the chief of the defense force. The issue, Chairperson, and I think this is a fundamental one, is that if we are not going to act decisively as an organization, what then serves as a deterrent? How are we going to say to others, if you do wrong, this is what is going to happen, because we are not deterring? But the side effect of it is also to say that those that are committed to this organization, those that work hard and are ready to even protect what this organization has, what is an incentive for them to do that? If then those that can do as they please, they will go scot-free without anything happening from them. So I do want to say, Chairperson, yes, the progress is painfully slow, but how long are we going to continue and deal with this? There are even instances, Chairperson, we did investigation. I sat with the Adjutant General. We addressed the letters not only to the chief, but the chief of the services, and they are there. It is just a question of acting, and it's not coming in. And I'm happy, Chairperson, that General Solomon had the opportunity to then address the honorable members before I came in, because she's been able to bring some of the issues to sharp focus from a legal perspective. Because even some of those things, we've looked at them. I mean, one of them, I will give you an example. When you deal with the issues of asset management, we have civilians that are there. And I said to the colleagues in legal, can you give me a legal opinion? What do I do with those civilians that are embedded in the uniform environment? Should there be any wrongdoing on their part? They said, by virtue of them not accounting to you directly, and they account to whichever chief of the service is or head of division, that head of chief of service or the head of division will be the one that will have to take action against those ones. And really, Chairperson, I think that the frustrations are justified if you also look at the age of these cases. I will tell you, Chairperson, if you look at the number of the PSAPs, there are 9 of them from number 57 to 66. I've never met any of those PSAP members. And I don't know whether they are the ones that General Solomon is talking about to say that when we send these cases to law enforcement, they'll be with those, because it doesn't even say how many of those ones that are on suspension, their cases have been referred to law enforcement agencies. But I think maybe what we may also need to do, Chairperson, when we come back to you in future on the matter, is then also to say, from all these people who have been suspended, how many of them are still alive? How many of them have been charged? Or how old are these cases that they are dealing with? Is there any prospect of how many of them have been arrested? Because maybe they may be on suspension, they are behind us, we don't know, and then we still pay them. So it would be good that we break it down even that far to then say that some of these people, probably they've long left the system, and God knows, probably they would have left and then they paid them all their money when there are still cases pending against them. So I think it may assist us to break it down that way. When we last presented to you, Chairperson, I did have engagements with the Chief of HR to say, can you please look at all these suspensions and even not only look at them, quantify what is the amount of money that goes to paying these members that are on suspension. And I think that we will note those things so that when we come back to you next time, we are able to give you some of these things. And probably just to then lastly say that, Chair, tomorrow I am actually having a meeting with the AG team, and it is more around the issues of material irregularities to say how do we take this matter forward. And we hope that by the time we come to you next time, we should be able to give you updates on those ones. So, Chairperson, this is what I actually really wanted to update on, to say yes, there is frustration also with ourselves within the department. I know the minister is equally frustrated to say that it's one area where we are not really making a quantifiable progress in terms of then implementing. And also, on the other hand, if you look at us, the way we are structured, the majority of our people are in uniform, and the majority, a minority, they are in the civilian environment. And also, if you do analysis of all these cases, Chairperson, they are all around issues of procurement. I do agree with you, Chairperson, to say that maybe it's part of the things that we have to look at in future in consideration when we promote people. But for me, it is not only about financial management, it is about management. Because when it gets to any level, it is about management, accounting for both your human resource capacity and also accounting for the financial resources that are given to you. That's why when we get the budget, we give to the various chiefs of the services and the divisions. Once money is used, it must be accounted for. It must be accounted for. So I'm just beefing up the point you are making to say that it is even bigger than just financial management. So those are the points that I wanted to make, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Jeff. I think that helps in actually taking us forward. Maybe let's agree, let's summarize it this way. That, yes, Thabo, Honorable Mutle.
Sorry to interrupt you, Chair.
No problem.
I'm not sure. I haven't had the response on my first question on the nature of fraudulent activities in the ministry.
Yes, you are right. I'm sorry, Honorable Mutle. Can we get a quick response to that one?
Chair, I'll allow
Admiral
Makoto to speak to that.
Chairperson,
is that
also
my? Okay, just hold there, Mr. Mari. Can we get this the response? I'll come back to you, sir. Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The cases in the former minister's office relates to the car rentals in the different companies. It's just that I'm not going to go deeper into that.
Okay. Does that satisfy you, Honorable Mode?
I'm not sure because I'm not really answered. It relates that amount of 930 something thousand. It only relates to car hire.
Yes, it's for car hire and movements, but it doesn't only relate to 1 year. It's something that has been going on for a few of years, but we just mentioned it. A few years.
Can you cite an example of what you mean by car hire?
Just when maybe officials, junior officials, have been given vehicles that they do not qualify in terms of the categories, so which then leads to more money paid per rental. Thank you.
Okay. No. All right. Okay, there's noise, there's shuffling. Sorry, there's shuffling of papers. I don't know where is that coming from. All right, Mr. Mare, you wanted to say something. Maybe before you say that, Mr. Mare, let me check if you'll not be covered by this. I'll come back to you. Just hold on a bit. Let's say the team. SACF must review all the cases of suspension and then come back to us indicating against each one of them whether a continued suspension is still justified. Right? So for all of them, there are about 56 of cases that remain on suspension. So we want you to come back to us and indicate for each one of them whether the continued suspension is still justified, right? And then two, where investigation have been concluded, findings and recommendations made, and report referred to the chief of a service or division, and we will arrange a session for each one of the chiefs to come and then present the status report of each of those matters that were referred to him or her for review or decision or action or let me say for implementation. So that's another round we are going to have on these matters now for each one of them. And so we're talking about cases of fraud, corruption, and irregular and wasteful expenditure. Now we want to hold the chiefs to account on matters that have been investigations, findings and recommendations made and reports referred to them for implementation. That's two. And then thirdly,
We will have a session with the Hawks when they brief us on all matters that have been referred to them, and just to we want them to give us the status of each of those cases. And then fourthly, we must consider the issue of making it as a condition that for promotion to manage position and certain causes must have been done, as part of the requirements for promotion, and for those that are on promotion to be taken through those causes. For now, I said financial management, and you're saying sometimes non-financial management is management in general. Maybe we need to find the cause that will actually capture and address what we have pointed out as concerns at this level of the committee. And the last point on this is to get a progress report on a quarterly basis on all matters under investigation, and from you, Admiral Mopoto, of course, on behalf of the chief of the SNDF and the SecDef. So I think those are the five areas that I think we would determine to be looked at and be reported on by the team going forward. Right, Mr. Mare, let me just check if you're not covered. Over to you, sir.
No, I can go with your points. I support that, but however, there are just two matters that is of concern to me. One is, again, those that are on suspension for many, many years, what measurements do we have to make sure that they do not work without not applying to do other work? Because if they are left from early 2000s and nobody bothered to contact them, they might go on and do something else. So are there measurements, or is that something that can be looked for into the future? I want to indicate to General Yum that by far the majority of the cases are uniform members. And so in other words, if it's a disciplined force, we would not have so many cases. So that's an issue. And then in terms of what you have said earlier, remember, we sit with the challenge of cost of employees. We cannot afford, if a uniform member is on suspension, to get a reserve force member to do his or her work. It's either they must be suspended and terminated their contract. Alternatively, as you said, they must come back. If it's not a serious offense and it takes a very, very long, then they must put into a job. Otherwise, we're not going to address cost of employees as a challenge. Thank you very much.
All right.
That's
okay, colleagues.
Just two additions, Chairperson. Two additions.
Dr. Bakoko, two additions, okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Two, the first one, Chair, is that in future, the department must not be economical to give us information. We are an oversight body here. If you look at the time we have taken in terms of the presentation, as against the time of questions and clarifications, it has taken a long time. It tells me clearly, Chairperson, that there were gaps in the report that was given to us. Hence, we are saying the report must go back. So I'm saying in future, that not must happen. The last point, Chair, is on suspensions. We need that breakdown. When this person was suspended, so that at the end of the day, Chair, 56 million is a lot of money. It's a lot of money paying people who are sitting at home. So we need a breakdown to say this person was suspended on this date. Here is the case. Here is the situation. So I'm saying that for me, in future, at least the department must take care of what we're requesting, especially the accounting officer, Chair. The accounting officer of a department is an accounting officer, even if she was employed yesterday, he's accounting officer. So I'm saying in future, we must not experience what we have experienced today. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes. Right. We have been given the years when the colleagues were suspended. Maybe it's the date. I'm not sure if the date is also part of the thing. But yes, we now know when which year were people.
It's like that. As you requested, will be included in the.
Will be included in the thing.
Okay. The detail that you have just requested, Honourable Chair.
No, that's fine.
Yes.
Okay. So let's do that. So because it will take us somewhere. We're reviewing all these cases now of suspension because we found them to be adding unnecessary to the burden. It's a necessary cost. Whereas when we appoint another person to do the work, so we're paying two people to do the same job. So we'll get that report when we meet next. I don't know, but we'll schedule all these matters when we think we'll come back to us. But at least now you know, as you leave this meeting, that on quarterly basis, you'll come back and brief us on all the status of all the investigations are reported to be underway. So we want to leave it at that for now. Colleagues, I think from what I've seen so far, I think the investigation it's I think we've done a good job. We have investigated most matters. The backlog is in the implementation. So Admiral Mopot, I think you are in the investigation. But of course, you can't be held accountable when the matter is not progressed beyond your report. Only the heads, the chiefs of divisions and services that must be held accountable. The SecDef has done her part with the PSEP staff. And obviously, she can't, encroach into the uniform because the law is very clear as to who has the responsibility in the suspect is the chief of the South African Defence Force. But before we go to the chief, we thought that we must have a discussion with the chiefs of the services because it is to them that the report has been given. And when the matter has been referred to the chief of the SNDF, the chief now of the SNDF, will then only the chief can give us the status report on matters because they've moved from the chief of the of service or division to him for action. And then if there's no action, then the chief himself must be held accountable. So I think let's leave matters at this for now. I'm not scheduling any appointment with the chief at this stage, and we'll start with the heads, and then later, when the matter has been referred to the chief, and then have a discussion on this matter as matters with the chief. In other words, hold the chief to account on the matters referred to him, but at the time when we have been advised. So what it therefore means is that in the meantime, the chief should be acting on all the matters that have been referred to him. He must not wait until he is called to account. I'm talking about the chief of the SNDF now. And so at least he has time to consider those matters whilst we deal with all the chiefs and under him on matters referred to them for action.
So, colleagues, we want to leave matters at that. SecDef, I think you are doing okay at your level, but we also want to see those cases of suspension reviewed as well, because people can't remain on suspension. Doesn't matter whether they are uniform or not uniform for a very long time. If there's no reason for a person to remain on suspension, bring the fellow back so that he does what he or she was appointed to do. And of course, when you've satisfied yourself that that person will not tamper with evidence, will not interfere with witnesses, if you think he would interfere with witnesses and is willing to work elsewhere and not in the same unit where he was working before, and I think that would be a good step, because at least he will be back to do some work, but work commensurate with the amount that, with the salary that the fellow is receiving. Can't have people and you know, staying at home and doing nothing but receiving being paid a salary. You know, we can't. The economy can't afford that. So we can't. They can't afford that. So that's the thing that we are saying today. Colleagues, I think we have exhausted the issue. It has taken us 2 hours to deal with it. And I think we've dealt with it exhaustively. We have made progress, I guess, tonight. I wish to thank Advocate Admiral Mopoto and the General Simmons. I think she did a good job to clarify areas of law so that we are clear as to what you know, what matters and are before you and how you are dealing with them. Thank Chief of Staff. At least you are on, we're on the same page. You are still on the ground, but you still need these people back to come and work. They can't be on holiday and at the expense of taxpayers. We're on the same page on that. And but you must also, in the meantime, SecDef, check whether we are not just to properly, not properly. At times, was it a week or two back when the team, the Adjutant General, and the Provost Marshal came to report on their staffing. And I think we need to attend to the staffing levels so that they are able to do their job optimally, because they will work with what they have. And I think it talks to the issue that the Chief of Staff raised, that you are being on the ground. So with that, I think it's safe now to close the issue and then move to the next item. And let me thank you, SecDef, the Chief of Staff, and the Admiral and all the generals who were there to support the Chief of Staff to present today. And then say you are free to leave the platform.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, can we quickly move to the next item now? I think that item will be done by Peter Daniels, stroke Velem. I don't know who between the two of them will start. Am I right, Brian?
That's correct, sir.
Okay.
Good day, Chair. Good day, members. I will take members through the annual report of the committee of last year. Chair, can I just check, is the presentation available?
Not yet, Peter. It was uploading. It's still uploading. Oh, there it is. I can see it now.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the two reports are closely related. The first one is the annual report of the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans and what they've done in the 2021 term. Chair, the gray area is from page 1 to page 5. It is just the highlights that we've experienced or activities that we've done in 2021. Chair, some of these issues are duplicated and repeated because that is the nature of the template. So first, Chair, last year we dealt quite a few times with the human resource challenges in the department. We've also had the departments coming to us and explaining and presenting their order and action plans. We've discussed the personal protective equipment, expanded the audit report that was also referred to now. We had engagement with the department, with SAPRA and AG, with regard to the procurement on Hebron from Cuba. We had a meeting with the Advisory Council of the Military Veterans. And then the cyclical issues that we've dealt with included the quarterly reports, the budget review reports that emanated from the annual reports. There, just again, reference to the audit committees of the departments that we invited. We also had last year, like we had this year, briefings by the Inspector General and the Military Police, like the PMG, the Provost Marshal. We discussed issues around supply chain management, misconduct, as well as the human resource challenges and issues that were also covered now is and last week as well, was related to the specialized investigation capabilities in the department. As you were saying now, Chair, the executive maybe need to look at how these, especially the military police and the inspector general and so on, are actually being capacitated, as well as their working relationship with the South African Police Service and the NPA. When it comes to the Department of Military Veterans, one of the main issues that we dealt with there was asking them when they will actually present the amendments to the Military Veterans Act. And then we also engaged with them with regards to the Presidential Task Team on Military Veterans. So if we reflect on the program and whether our activities have actually, objectives have been achieved, say there again, it's similar to the first page. We've done most of those issues that we set out to do from the prescribed documents, the annual budget, the strategic plans, annual performance plan, the adjustment budget, etc. And then we had a discussion on the force structure and force design closely related to the HR issues. With regards to DMV, as I said, the Presidential Task Team and the amendments to the Act. So the focus areas that we covered during 2021, Chair, relates much to what I said in the first two pages. And then for the future, these are issues, Chair, that we said that we should be covering from this year onwards, and many of these issues we've actually covered already. I will just highlight maybe two or three issues, Chair. There on the fifth bullet, they'll be referring to the location of procurement and supply chain management that actually reports to the Chief of Logistics as opposed to reporting or resorting directly under the CFO. I think that's an issue that we need to pick up with, Chair. And then with regards to Project Lusano, we're told that it's now in the hands of the SECDEF as well as the Chief of the SANDF for them to implement the consequence management. So those are some of the main issues that we identified, Chair. So when it comes to the challenges, mostly relate to what I've said already, and one issue, for instance, with regards to the Department of Defense is the imminent closure of the SDA, the Special Defense Account, and the impact on strategic acquisitions. And I think that is maybe an issue that we need to follow up, Chair. With regards to the military veterans, there are issues with regards to the organizational structure that we've been talking about, as well as change management. And then something that we need to follow up, Chair, is this whole skill audit process, because I don't believe we have closed that one properly. With the cost of control board, Chair, as raised in our budget report, is the issue of a going concern, but we all know the challenges that they are having. With regards to Arms Corps, it relates to the funding of the proof projects, fire hotel, et cetera. We've discussed that as well. When it comes to the Office of the Military Ombud, there, Chair, some of the issues that we said that we should maybe look at is the challenges with regards to the institutional independence, but that relates to them actually coming to us with an amendment of the Military Ombud Act. When it comes to the Defence Force Service Commission, I think they also need to come and give us feedback as to whether they actually had this strategic ministerial retreat with the minister, the chiefs, and the Secretary for Defence, as well as Chief HR. Chair, much of what I said before relates to the recommendations that is coming now. And there, Chair can see, and members can see some of the recommendations that we've made. There is just similar issues that I've raised before. Chair, so from page 6 onwards, it's basically just explaining what are the mandates, for instance, there of the Department of Defense, the Department of Military Veterans, the entities that reports to the committee, Arms Corps, the Council Board, the Military Ombud, the Reserve Force Council, and then the Defense Force Service Commission. And then the functions of the committee itself, just to emphasize, it is basically to monitor the financial and non-financial performance of government departments, the entities, to ensure that national objectives are met. Secondly, is to process and pass legislation. And then thirdly, is to facilitate public participation in Parliament relating to issues of OSIS oversight and legislation. So there is just the purpose of the report, and that is to provide an account of the portfolio committee's work during the 2021 term and to assess the key outstanding issues pertaining to the oversight and legislative program of the Department of Defense, military veterans, and its entities. Chair, this next section will also be covered in the review of our APP, and there is the key statistics, and there is just indication of the number of meetings that we had in 2021. There were no legislation process. We've also had only one oversight visit, but jointly with the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, and the other issues were not applicable. Chair, the next is just a list of the various stakeholders, and there members can see it relates to issue stakeholders such as the NCACC, the Appeal Board of the DMV, the Advisory Council, SANWA, and other academic and non-governmental organizations. When it comes to the briefings and public hearings, members are aware that we had several meetings. As I said there earlier, we had about 22 meetings in 2021, so various issues were covered. And many of those issues were actually identified at our workshop that we had early last year in Pretoria. So when it comes to legislation, as members are aware, there were no legislation. We're expecting the department to, for instance, come and retable the military discipline, but it has not been done. When it comes to the DMV, we're expecting them to also table an amendment on the Military Veterans Act. When it comes to the oversight trips undertaken, as I said earlier, we did one jointly with the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, and that was in July last year. And that was to go and look during the unrest, to go and look how just to do oversight and what's been happening in the KZN as well as the Gauteng province. Study tours are not applicable, and that's something I'll also refer to later, Chair. International agreements that were also not applicable. Similar with statutory appointments, and there were no obligations conferred by the committee by legislation. And then the point 11 is just a summary of some of the outstanding issues that the committee has been grappling with. And many of these issues, Chair, we've already covered this year, but members can see there, for instance, with regards to the Department of Defense, the whole issue of compensation of employees and how the department is actually trying to address that. And then the thirdly, the rejuvenation plan. Now we know that 1 billion rand has been approved by National Treasury for this year. And if they do well, then they will also get another 800 million for the next financial year. With the DMV, there is issues of the national database, something that we're all concerned about. But we're all aware that the Presidential Task Team is now working on a verification process and things are moving in that direction. And there is just some notes there with regards to Arms Corps, the CCB, the Military Ombud, as well as the Defence Service Commission. So the statutory appointments were not applicable. Also, there were no petitions received. No interventions were processed. There were no matters referred to us by the speaker or the chairperson of the NCOP. Nor were there any matters referred to us by the house chairperson. And then, Chair, it is just basically some recommendations that we are making with regards to the internal procedures of the committee. So the first one, Chair, is that it should be ensured that presentations from the department and the entities are received well ahead of time for members to prepare themselves. And then minutes and reports should be considered at least within 3 weeks so that we can share those recommendations with the relevant departments and entities. The next one is just the importance of a quorum, and then a resolution register should actually be kept to make sure that we follow up on the committee's recommendations, and that is being done, Chair. And then also the BRRR process, something that we've mentioned earlier, Chair, is that the committee should actually consider during its BRRR process the substantial reliance of the SANDF during times of extreme need and the decreasing ability of the SANDF to meet expectations as a result of the declining budget allocations that is issued that should be considered. So, Chair, that is the extent of the annual report of the Portfolio Committee for year 2021. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Peter, right. Were you expecting Willem to make a comment, Peter? Input?
No, Chair. I don't think this is well. So I'll continue with the review, if you don't mind, Chair.
Okay. Oh, he's not well.
Yeah, he's not feeling well, Chair.
Oh, okay. Okay, you may continue with the second one.
Chair, as mentioned, this is basically just the review of our annual performance plan that we drafted last year at our strategic planning session. And this is similar to what we did with the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. So for this year, the first time we had around 8 meetings. The second time we already had 4, and we're planning another 4 meetings. So this is for this year. And last year, we did fairly well in the sense that we had 7 meetings in the first term, the second term also around 7. And then the third term and the fourth term, members should be aware that we had the local government elections. So those terms were shortened. So we, in total, we had 22 meetings. For 2020, we had altogether 29 meetings. And if one then compares that with the previous parliament and then look at their legacy report, then we can see the number of meetings that they had, Chair. So, Chair, in line with the 4 outputs that we are being measured on and actually determined by Parliament in Parliament's annual performance plan and as well as the strategic plan, the issues of legislation, oversight, public involvement, as well as international cooperation, this is just to indicate how the committee has fared in 2021. So, Chair, if we want to look firstly at legislation, as I've mentioned, we didn't receive any legislation. We were expecting the military disciplinary bill, and last year it didn't happen. So we hope that it will maybe come this year. So that is the first one, the introduction of the military discipline bill. There were also mention made that the Castle Control Board wants to amend their Castle Management Act. So we'll see what happens with that one, and then. It was also mentioned that maybe we should give consideration to the repeal bill of the Special Defense Account, but that should come from the department or at least in conjunction with the NCACC. So there were no bills also from the Department of Military Veterans. So we hope that at least by the end of the year, they will submit the Military Veterans Amendment Bill. When it comes to oversight, Chair, there we said we actually wanted to have around 4 oversight visits. We've only done one, the one that I mentioned earlier in collaboration with the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, and it was in the third term in June. When it comes to defense work formation, we didn't have any oversight to them, but during the year, They also briefed us on various issues, especially with regards to what's happening at one military hospital. And they've also then indicated to us what are the capabilities and what are the shortages and some of the qualifications that they need to give to their artisans. So, Chair, so last year we didn't have much to do with border safeguarding, and that's the issue I'll come back to later. But we did have a briefing throughout the year or updates as to what is happening around our borders. Yesterday, we did have issues, briefings on the audit outcomes, as well as the flying hours, the sea hours, and briefings on fraud and corruption, as we had for the last 2 weeks. We had presentations from the military ombud and from the Defence Force Service Commission, but in the main, that is now being dealt with the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. Last week, we also spoken about the sweating of assets. We expected to have a briefing on it last year. It didn't happen. And the minister indicated we need to give them some time and space. And they will come back and then report to us on progress being made with regards to the sweating of assets. Something that we've neglected, Chair, is the cyber warfare strategy and implementation. And I think for the next term, we maybe should put that on our program. When it comes to military veterans, we didn't have any oversight visits, but we earlier this year in April, we did have an oversight visit to the headquarters. And throughout the year, we also had briefings on the military veterans database, on service delivery policies, service level agreements, and the overuse of service delivery agencies, provision of benefits. And then the last two there is the advisory council and the report by the appeal board. And as the deputy minister said yesterday, they are busy, the advisory council has been established, and 3 weeks back they had their first meeting, and then they are busy constituting the appeal board. So later on this year, we can then invite them to come and report to us. And similarly, Chair, we should maybe give consideration as to whether we want the South African National Military Veterans Association to come and brief us once it has been properly constituted. When it comes to Arms Corps, we did have earlier this year an oversight visit to some of the facilities in Pretoria. We planned to do that last year. We didn't do that. And we've spoken to them about the regional outreach and marketing strategy. They did come back to us and reported on how they're actually addressing the AG's concern. And we didn't have a chance to speak to them, or they come and brief us on how they want to increase the local specialized technologies in products. When it comes to the CCB, similar to Arms Corps, we said that we wanted to go and visit there. We didn't have a chance, but they've also briefed us on their financial viability, the safety of the council, and also how they are addressing the concerns raised by the AG. When it comes to public involvement and participation, as I mentioned earlier, this did not happen because there were no bills submitted. And then, Chair, this is the last issue, and this is maybe something we need to consider, given that this committee, and even in the previous term, we didn't really have a study tour. We only went once to the DRC, and maybe, Chair, we should start planning for a study tour or an oversight visit to our troops, our peacekeepers in the DRC, and maybe also go and take a visit to Mozambique. So, Chair, that in essence is the review of our annual performance plan. But, Chair, if I need to summarize it, I will say the issues that we need to look at is, firstly, is the cyber warfare strategy, maybe a dedicated briefing on the defense works formation, and then also at the borderline safety, the sweating of assets, and just follow up on the consequence management from the chief, and then, or lastly, Chair, maybe also follow up on the special defense account. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. All right, colleagues, I think you've done very well. You know,
outstanding.
Outstanding. Yes. I mean, you see, now I'm able to, you have given us a mirror. We're able to reflect on our performance.
something we would not have been able to do on our own, because we're looking forward, and the report is about looking backward and checking if we are still the same, what you call, we are meeting all the targets and that we have set for ourselves. And so on that, what score would you give us, Peter?
I'll give a good 80, a cum laude.
That's not general. Okay, colleague. So comments? But Peter, I think where you say these are the areas that remain outstanding, so I don't think there would be any discussion on those. Maybe we should put them on the agenda and process them so that we leave nothing outstanding going forward. So there's no debate because it's what we said we want to do. And if we have not done it, at least we can say we pushed it into the new, what you call, a financial year. Colleagues, over to you.
Chairperson Motapo.
Sorry. Ms. Motapo.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, I don't know, maybe it's my omission. Are we having this presentation? Are we having this presentation? Was it?
Yes, it was circulated. Oh man, wait, Peter, did we circulate it? I remember you wanted to check if you wanted to clear it with me first, isn't it?
No, that wasn't another issue, Chair. But Brian can confirm whether he sent it, Chair.
So Brian, can you confirm it? Was circulated?
Indeed, Chair, it was circulated. Both in through email and as well as in the WhatsApp group.
Yes. Yes.
No, I can confirm.
You can confirm. Okay. No. Okay. My apologies, Motiapo, if you have not seen it.
Okay. So. No. Thanks very much. Thanks.
Okay. Any comments, colleagues?
Person, the only thing is compliments, and based on that, I can move for the acceptance.
Yes, no, thank you so much. Move for accept, seconded. Who second the acceptance?
I second, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Ms. Mtembu, seconds. Thank you very much, colleagues. Thanks, Peter, and thanks to Vel, convey our appreciation to Velem as well for the work, for the good work. All
thank
right,
you.
Thanks. And then, Brian, how many minutes? A set of minutes?
We have two sets.
Please write them. This is the attendance. What we're dealing with, it's the briefing by the DMV on its annual performance plan, budget, and responses to the AG's status of record review, and briefing by CCB on their annual budget and plan. And then we dealt with the minutes. So this was the attendance. Just go through the attendance. Please, colleagues, if there are any corrections, please indicate. Right to the left, right, this was the second page. Any correction? Right, move to the last page, to the next page. Page 3, any correction? Page 4, any corrections? Page 5.
Any correction? And page 6. So, and then the last page, page 7. All right. Colleagues, these are the minutes. I present them to you. Any objection? If none, can I get a proposal and a seconder for adoption?
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Honorable Mokhe moves for adoption, seconded by?
I second, Honorable Chair.
I did. Oh, Ms. Ntembo seconds. Thank you very much. Can we the minutes are adopted. Can we deal with the second set? I should report that Miles Shelebe tried several times to be in the meeting, but the system kept kicking him out. So he's not in the meeting unless he joined lately. Or he joined lately. Colleagues, this is the meeting of the 18th of May. It was a briefing by the Military Police Division mandate, and a briefing by the on the Adjutant General's mandate, and we dealt with the minutes, adopted our report in minutes. So this is the attendance record. And then, okay, right, page 2. Page 2, right. Any correction, page 3. Page 4. And page 5. And page 6. And the last page. Colleagues, I present these minutes to you. Any objection? If none, please indicate your support by moving and seconding for adoption.
Motapo, I move.
Motapo move. And seconded by?
I second.
Mr. Mare second. Brian, once again, thank you very much for this outstanding work. And so the minutes are adopted as true reflection, true record of our discussion. I think having done that, Brian, is anything before we adjourn the meeting? It's 28 minutes to 1.
Close at 10.
Okay, colleagues, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your good meeting. So the meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Recording stopped.